Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Went out to dinner on Saturday night with the parents who were in town. Trattoria Marcella Watson. You ever go there, Sue?
So great. Yes.
This is great. Oh. And by the way, it was packed. It was packed. But then I forgot my credit card. So and they're not open on Sunday and Monday. And I pretty much figured it was there, and I have alerts set in case someone wants to steal the credit card. But it's like that feeling. I don't like that
feeling. It's the
feeling.
Worst feeling. Did your father have to pay? What happened?
Oh, no. I had the card, and I used the card to pay. But then when it got back to me, I don't know. There was some confusion, and I didn't take it back. It's probably my fault. It's not the restaurant's fault.
Oh,
but
I
it was just that
mean.
Uneasiness of the last couple of days because I left it there. So what'd I finally called. I had the mahi-mahi.
Yeah. Good.
So I was going to go with something else, but they threw that out as a special. It was great.
Yum! Well, I don't even know where I'm going this week.
But you could tell, just with the crowd that was there on Saturday night, you know, people are... I saw these videos from all over the country. You're talking about from the East Coast to the West Coast, down south here, people getting out doing things for Memorial Day weekend. We have Sue's News coming up here, but let me kind of talk about some things related to vaccination, because Missouri's vaccination rates have withered, and you've seen this across the country. So we're at 44.1% of our 18-plus population fully vaccinated. That's not a real good number. 34.6 of our total population. So, you know, you have other states that are doing these vaccine campaigns where they're doing giveaways. Ohio had the lottery last week. Minnesota, which is currently at 61% of the 12-plus population, for whatever reason, we don't break it down that way. We do 18-plus, but that's a good figure. They're offering incentives. They're trying to hit 70%. So in Minnesota, the first 100,000 Minnesotans to receive their first dose between May 27th and June 30th can take their pick of, here we go, one entrance pass to the Great Lakes Aquarium in Duluth, a 30-point ride pass at Nickelodeon Universe at Mall of America, a Minnesota resident annual fishing license, one Minnesota State Parks annual pass, that's probably not a bad deal, one adult admission at the Minnesota Zoo, one reserve ticket to attend a Northwoods baseball game in Mankato, Duluth, Rochester, St. Cloud, or Wilmar, two admission tickets to the State Fair. Sorry. State Farm. Jake gets a shout out there. One Valley Fair admission tickets plus tickets at a discount. A $25 Visa card is also possible. So everybody can take their pick of that. The prize is paid for by COVID relief funds. He didn't rule out. The governor of Minnesota is not ruling out another round of perks. I don't instinctively react negatively to that if you're actually getting more people to get the vaccine. Mm-hmm. Or is it stupid? Here's what Bill Maher says. Listen to this.
In America, we're like bribing people to get the vaccine. Really. I mean, they're giving away like college scholarships and free beer and baseball tickets. This California's giving away $160 million in cash and prizes. We're at the Bob Barker phase of the pandemic. I love this country. All over the world, people are dying to get this vaccine, but here they got to give you a jet ski first, and then maybe I will consider.
Well, so there is something to that. By the way, anybody think that's a good idea, a bad idea?
Missouri will never do it.
Yeah, we probably wouldn't.
I noticed New York City is going to give away two-night staycations once a week to people who have got vaccines.
To where? Other cities?
In New York City.
Oh, okay.
In New York City. Their own houses.
By the way,
Kroger just announced.
Oh, they did.
They're giving away
too.
$5 million prizes to customers.
Wow.
And full groceries for a year to 50 others.
So, you know, did you hear that Bill Maher had COVID?
Yeah.
So he didn't have his show for a couple of weeks. They put him on, you know, quarantine, and he was fine, he said.
They said I had COVID. This is, you know, it's like when you go to Jiffy Lube, they show you the air filter, and they go, okay, you're the expert. I thank you for all the get well wishes. I can't oblige you. I never was sick. I felt nothing, but okay, you know. I mean, I had the vaccine. That's another rumor. No, I had it, you know. I mean, who knows?
A smattering of applause.
Not worthy of applause, but okay. You know, did it help? Probably. I don't know. We don't know. Yes, probably. I don't know. Most people who got the thing never, you know, got very sick. Less than 4% went to the hospital. I know media doesn't like to talk about that. It's something to be respected, obviously, yes. And so good. Point is, I had it.
Yeah, I get you. Sounds a little uncomfortable even describing it there, Andrew. You pulled the audio. I don't know if there's more to that, but he had it. He wasn't sick. He had the vaccine. The vaccine apparently worked, if in fact that's what happened. And what did he say here about it? He said one more thing about vaccines.
The other stupid thing, people said, how could you have, you know, tested positive if you had the vaccine? It happens.
Yeah.
They never said it was 100% effect. Nobody ever did. The same week happened to me, 9 Yankees who had the vaccine tested positive, which is supporting my theory that the virus comes from bats.
Well, yeah. But the Yankees were fine as well. So important lessons there.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No, 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 no.
And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
That's right. It is brought to you by Sue. Have you guys heard of something called Screen X? It's something that movie theaters in the UK are going to try to get people out of their house and back into the theater. It's a giant screen in front of you, and then a screen on the left and a screen on the right. So it's three. You know, if you have
it's
a computer...
It's like Disney World.
Yeah. If you have a computer hooked up to multiple screens, it's the same thing. So you'll see it from the side all the way around. Have you heard of it?
No, I have not heard of that. Carl?
I hadn't either.
Familiar?
No, I hadn't heard of that. But I remember, like, if you go to the Epcot Center, the Canada and the Chinese movie are in the 360 round. So this is like a third of that.
Well, that's interesting. They're going to try this thing out.
I don't know how, but that was somehow racist, you saying Chinese movie.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know how, but and I'm putting that down.
Not the Canadian part.
Well, you're saying that. No, but that part was, you're
the
canceled.
Chinese.
Right. Wasn't it though? Like, I felt like we all kind of went like, ooh.
Yeah, I know. It's like, Carl, how dare you?
Let me say China section.
Let me say this.
Canadian section.
Let me say this. It was just the way you said Chinese.
I think you're right.
Let me say this. That I saw one of the, I think it was Force Awakens, the first of the new Star Wars movies. I saw it in the
IMAX.
OmniMax at the St. Louis Science Center.
Yeah.
Where
it's
that make
like
your
up
neck
on the
hurt,
screen.
Though?
It was awful.
Yeah,
it was terrible.
Right. Yeah.
It was very unpleasant to watch a screen
to
that level
in the
of
right
big.
Spot at the OmniMax.
So well, I just don't know if this is going to be good.
Well, I will say that the guy who talked about it said the key is to sit way in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And if you sit in the back, it really does kind of look cool because it doesn't go up, right? It's just side. We'll see if it works.
What if
they're
you have
saying
no peripheral vision.
Well, yeah, I don't know. It's supposed to be more immersive than you can get at home. And apparently, this was what freaked me out. They had adopted this in South Korea in 2012. So they've been doing it for years. And now the theater chain Cineworld, which is British, is launching 100 screens worldwide. And they're going to try it in the UK and see if it works.
Well,
so
if
we'll
it
see.
Works, it'll come here.
Right?
If people will pay for it.
Right. Well,
well, that's a good point. A Quiet Place 2, you guys.
So
loved
good.
It. Did $57 million at the box office over the weekend. Now, this is a COVID-era record. Movie theaters are back, they hope, just based on that. Interesting, they had estimated that the movie would make just about this much when the pandemic hit. So they hit the number they expected to make last year. When
15
they,
months
yeah,
ago.
Yeah. When they were going to release
Carl,
it.
Carl, was it originally a Memorial Day?
No.
It was not
March,
Memorial Day.
March of 2020.
Right, right, right.
Because that's what the poster said when we saw it.
Right, because That's right. Because I think a March estimate, that would probably be accurate. It's hard to do. But, I mean, a Memorial Day weekend estimate, that's probably low for most movies that open on Memorial Day weekend.
But, you know, since
I thought Cruella would do.
Yeah, how much did Cruella do?
Ooh, I didn't look that up.
I'm telling you, people are going to be unfair to
that movie. But you had the option of seeing that,
that
at home, too.
That's right.
Well,
that's
A Quiet Place, the first one, opened at only $50 million in 2018.
But that was a sleeper.
So
yeah, but 56 isn't that big for a sequel, I don't think. But again,
it's all because of COVID. Now, the original cost of A Quiet Place to make was $17 million. The sequel,
that's it. I love stories like that.
I do, too.
Because it made how much? Do you have the box office?
The first one?
Yeah.
$50 million.
No, total.
Oh, no.
Total box office.
No.
We'll figure that out, too.
I have Cruella, $5.2 million.
What?
Oh.
That's it?
I'm telling you, it's the title.
That was just for Memorial Day. The whole weekend was 21.3.
Okay, well that's a little better.
But still, if you combine the home, less than half.
Well, actually, right about half.
They need to get out and brand that better, because had you not told me that it's not, you know, that it's an adult movie and that it's really good, I would have gone, why do I want to watch the backstory on the woman who kills Dalmatians?
That's right. Most people are going to have that reaction, unfortunately. And it's such a good movie, but it is what it is.
By the way, the sequel to A Quiet Place, okay, the first one was $17 million to make. The second one, $61 million. So, yeah.
Quiet Place.
A sleeper, no more.
Quiet Place... first weekend was 50. Total was domestic 188.
That's pretty good.
Wow, no wonder they
took off. Word
61.
Of mouth. A lot of great word of mouth. So that's
worldwide,
a pretty good
340.
Yeah, China.
340 is a big number.
Worldwide.
Yeah, but still, this movie won't do that because there won't be the ability to do that.
Yeah, it's true. China announced yesterday that we'll now allow families to have up to 3 children.
They were at 2.
Yep. Census figures came in, and the Chinese population had dropped by 0.5% over the last decade. And, of course, are they worried about people? Nope. They're afraid it'll hurt their economy.
Yeah, Sue, I don't want to hear anything. We are the most oppressive society on the planet, and I don't want to hear anything about what they're doing in China along these lines, because I know that we, white people in particular, the most oppressive here in this country. So China got nothing on the U.S. telling people how many kids they can have.
Can you imagine?
That is nothing.
Can you imagine? The Communist Party, though, began that one-child policy in 1980, thinking that their population was growing too fast. And rural families preferred boys. Remember this part of it?
They killed the girls.
And they would get rid of the women. And now the childbearing numbers are all off because they have more men than women. Mm-hmm. And you've got nobody to bear these kids. I'm telling you.
It's horrific.
It's just crazy. You're right. They had a two-child policy in 2016, but the birth numbers still dropped. So that's why they've opened it up to 3. The TSA has reported the highest number of travelers since the pandemic on Friday. Can you guess how many people traveled this weekend? Flying.
Mm. Can you give me multiple choice? Because I heard it earlier on CNN or Fox, and if you say the number, I might remember. That's my way of cheating.
Is it 1 million, 2 million, or 3 million?
It's, you know what? I can't even. I think it's 1 million, but I would have thought it would be higher.
It's 2.
Okay.
It's 2 million. It's 1.9.
You were right.
Yes, you were right.
I didn't think it was 3.
Last year, okay, I realize it was the pandemic, but only 327,000 people flew over the weekend.
Wow.
Isn't that weird to think about?
I think
those numbers held true for much of the summer. The first time I got on a plane was in late June, and it was dead, and I'm flying on Friday.
Hey,
this show off.
I guess with a stupid mask. But I'll
you have, yeah.
Did your airline
so
tell
out.
You?
Well, the first time, you know, I honestly did not think I could do it. If you go back to last June, I did not think I could fly with a mask on for that long because I was just kind of freaked out about it. But, you know, you put yourself in that position, and I kept telling myself, if I can get there, I can do it, I can do it, and I did it.
So, all right. Did the airline say you have to or not?
Okay. I'm flying Southwest. Guidelines. It's still their policy now, right?
Okay. We'll see what happens.
It's dumb, but they're going to make me do it, yes.
And in honor of travel kind of opening, we have this this PhD, Dr. Stephen Leatherman, and he has come up with a list of the top 10 U.S. beaches, if you are a beach person. Mm-hmm. He goes to all of these. He judges based on water temperature, sand softness, rip currents, litter, noise and lifeguards. Because when I saw this list, I thought, really? Because I don't. Number 10 is one in Massachusetts. It's the Coast Guard Beach in Cape Cod. Number 9, Beachwalker Park in South Carolina. Coronado Beach in San Diego. Calabasas Island State Park in Florida. Number 1, I'm just going to skip to it because really, do you know any of these others?
No.
Hapuna Beach in Hawaii.
Oh.
I want to go to Hawaii. All right.
That's the only one I might have been to. Where
have
is
you
that?
Been there?
Well, I don't know if I have or not.
It says Hawaii Island, Hawaii.
So on the Big Island.
Hapuna.
I've been to Coronado Beach.
Have you?
Yeah, it's
same here.
Hotel Del Coronado.
Yeah,
right
it's
there.
Really pretty.
Beautiful.
Really pretty if
so
you have
no
a chance.
Cocoa.
I've been to Pontoon Beach.
Have you?
Is
how
that
was
on the list?
That for you?
Is that on the list?
No, their sand isn't soft enough. And that is it for Sue's News.
Brought to you by Sue.
Brought to you by Sue.
That was good. All right. Coming up here this afternoon, we will have another edition of Sue's News, of course, tomorrow on a shortened week because of the holiday. I'm looking forward to this conversation. Fred has told me, Fred, you can confirm, Gene Becker, who wrote this book about President George Herbert Walker Bush, you know, spending time as a chief of staff post-presidency, she's got some St. Louis connections, right?
Yeah, she does.
All right,
she's a Missouri native.
Blame those. Coming up next, 97.1 FM Talk.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Frank Cusimano usually visits with us on a Monday and a Friday afternoon. We've called him in for special duty this afternoon, 4:45, on the Jack Flaherty injury. And unfortunately, the Cubs are in first place. So that's coming up. We'll talk about how they're trying to cancel Ellie Kemper in the next hour for being named the Veiled Prophet Queen back in 1999. It's just kind of ridiculous. She was 19 years old. But right now, Gene Becker is with us, former chief of staff for President George Herbert Walker Bush in his post-presidency years from about March 1994 until his death in 2018. She has a book out called The Man I Knew, Amazing Story, or The Amazing Story of George H.W. Bush's Post-Presidency. Gene Becker, welcome to 97.1 in St. Louis.
I am great. And the book launched today, and I'm so excited to do an interview with KMOX. I grew up on KMOX, listening to the St. Louis Cardinals. So thank you. This is exciting.
Well, I love the fact that you have the connection here to St. Louis. Just a quick correction. Not that this isn't still cool, but so it gets a little confusing for folks because I did afternoon drive on KMOX for 15 years, and I just switched to an FM station here, 97.1. So we're in the same building as KMOX, and that's the history. But my station's cooler, Gene. I'll just say that at this point. So your family's going to be thrilled even hearing you here on 97.1, okay?
I will. Much cooler. I can already tell it's much cooler.
So you got to go through this, though, because you have strong, I love it when this happens with guests, you have strong Missouri connections, and you grew up with KMOX and the Cardinals and all that. So where did you live?
I grew up in Audrain County, which is about 2 hours west of St. Louis. I grew up in a little bitty town called Martinsburg. My dad was a farmer, and we were all absolutely radical Cardinal fans. And I want everybody in St. Louis to know that this book is about my beloved former boss, George Herbert Walker Bush. But I managed to talk about Lou Brock, Albert Pujols, and Tony La Russa in this book. Somehow they became part of the story.
I love it. And you know what? We're gonna guide people into that direction here in just a little bit, Gene, if that's cool with you. So, you know, there's a lot of St. Louis connections here because George Herbert Walker, that would be this is tough sometimes to piece this together, but that would be George Herbert Walker Bush's grandfather. And he was from here in St. Louis, right? George Herbert Walker was from St. Louis.
That's right. He was from St. Louis, and President Bush's mother, Dorothy Walker Bush, grew up in St. Louis. And a lot of relatives still in the area. President Bush's beloved brother, Bucky, died a couple years ago.
Right.
He spent his whole life in St. Louis. So lots of wonderful connections to the St. Louis area.
Now, did you go to Mizzou for journalism school? Because you were a reporter, and that I want you to kind of back up and tell the story in the preface, which is really cool. You talk about what happens at the end of the president's life, but then you kind of segue into how you met him in the first place, right?
I did indeed go to the University of Missouri School of Journalism, and I eventually ended up with my dream job, USA Today, and I was a member of their election team in 1988, which is the year President Bush was elected President of the United States. And I interviewed him a couple of times, but I mainly worked with Barbara Bush because she and the other spouse in the campaign, Kitty Dukakis, did a weekly column for USA Today, and I was their editor. And after the election, I was surprised and pleased when she offered me a job to come work with her at the White House as one of her deputy press secretaries. And so I left journalism and took that job, ended up going to Houston with the Bushes when he lost in 1992 to Bill Clinton. And then eventually became President Bush's chief of staff for 25 years.
So your story with the president really begins before he loses in 92. But that's really when that's when you become chief of staff, and you're with him in that post presidency.
That's correct. I met him a couple times as a reporter, interviewed him a couple of times. I was not the main reporter who covered him. And you pointed out, I did put in my author's note, I absolutely remember the first time I met him and the first thing he said to me. And the only thing that makes that remotely interesting is I know exactly the last thing he said to me. It was a couple hours before he died when he asked me if I was okay. So we came full circle.
You know, 1988 was the first election that I really covered as a reporter. I was in journalism school in 1984, so Ronald Reagan was the first president that I voted for. But I remember 92 quite well because that was really the first election where I was out of school full-time. I was news director at a station in Columbia, KFRU at the time. I was just coming off surgery, eye surgery, and it was my first day. 92, that election was the first day back at work in like 30 days because I was in bed recovering from this eye surgery. And I had sort of gotten the feeling that summer, because there's an area here in Missouri, you probably know Missouri very well, but near Farmington, Deloge, Missouri, that was really, really not doing very well in the early 90s, as a lot of smaller towns weren't because of the economy. And that was when I got the feeling that things were not going to go well for President Bush winning re-election.
It was 1992. That was a tough year, and he was getting sort of beat up by the conservative wing of the Republican Party for raising taxes as part of the 1990 budget deal, which ended up actually jump-starting the economy. He sort of was proved right down the road, but not in time for the election. And then there was a man named Ross Perot.
That's right.
Who entered as a third party candidate, and that probably lost the election for him more than anything else, because Ross Perot got 19% of the vote, and we'll never know, but most of that probably would have gone to President Bush.
Well, how tough was that, Gene? Because I know that you focus on that in the book, but he took the loss hard, didn't he?
He took the loss hard. He among other things, he felt like he let down his staff, his team, the military, his family. He also felt like he didn't finish the job. He was such a principled person, and it just killed him that he had to leave the job before he felt he had accomplished everything he wanted to accomplish. And a couple of years later, when a friend of his was sort of whining to him, this friend was crying on his shoulder. He'd been fired from a rather high-profile job in the hospitality industry. And this friend said to President Bush, "Mr. President, you just have no idea how I feel. I don't even want to go out in public. It's just embarrassing because I've been fired." And President Bush looked at him kindly, but also with a bit of a steely look, and said, I was fired by the American people in 1992. Of course I know how you feel. And one of the great things I love about the book is he's really left us a blueprint on how to live a life well lived. And the number one being example is when you hit a speed bump, just pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and you keep going. He had a lot of speed bumps in his life, but always managed to carry on, bigger and better.
The Man I Knew is the name of the book, The Amazing Story of George Herbert Walker Bush's Post-Presidency. Gene Becker is with me. Yeah, one of those things that happened is he got shot down in an airplane, right?
That was a major speed bump.
Yes. I would say.
He got shot down during World War II, correct.
Now, did he want it? You talk about in the book how, you know, he had ideas and he would come up with ideas, some good ideas, some bad ideas. You would react to those. One of the ideas he had is to go back to where he was shot down.
That's right. It's not that he had bad ideas. It's just that he had big ideas. And sometimes at 7 o'clock in the morning when he announced to me he wanted to go back to Chichijima, where he was shot down on September 2nd, 1944. And let me just say for the record, it is not easy to get from Houston, Texas to Chichijima in the South Pacific. But it was important for him to go. He needed closure. He lost his two crewmates, his two crew members that day, and they had weighed heavily on his mind always. He told an interviewer once that he thought of them every single day. And I think he just needed to go back to the spot where it all happened to sort of close that chapter on his book. And what's ironic is that it was the Japanese government, the Japanese Navy, who got us to Chichijima, and he and I sort of laughed about it. So the government that shot him down while he was bombing one of their islands is the one who helped arrange for him to close that loop. It was sort of touching, very touching.
He also kind of, didn't he pay him back earlier by puking in the Prime Minister of Japan's lap? That was also a speed bump, wasn't it?
Oh, that's such a funny thing for you to bring up. Unfortunately, that happened at a state dinner in January 1992, election year. That should have given us a heads up that it might be a bumpy ride that year. Yeah, right. He had the flu, and he had tried to power through it and attend the state dinner in Tokyo, and he probably should have. Well, we now know he definitely should not have tried to power through it because he threw up in the middle of dinner in the lap of the Japanese Prime Minister.
We want people to read the book, Gene, but you kind of piqued our interest with the baseball references. So can you guide us in a little bit with the Pujols and the Russo? Who else did you mention? Somebody else.
Lou Brock.
Lou Brock. That's right, Lou Brock.
Truly, the biggest fight I ever had with President Bush in 25 years. This is when Albert was still a cardinal and still a member of the family. And I was at a Houston Astros game, St. Louis Cardinal game, with President Bush here in Houston. And I had just read that if Albert Pujols stayed healthy, it's possible that he would end his career as the best hitter to ever play the game, because he was just on track to break every record in the book.
Sure.
So had watching Albert had just hit a huge home run at Minute Maid Park. Not the home run he hit in the playoffs that one time. This was just a regular season game. He's trotting around the bases. So I casually said to President Bush, "Sir, did you know that Albert Pujols, we could be watching right now the best hitter to ever play the game?" Well, one of President Bush's best friends was Ted Williams.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
He took it so personally. He thought it was the dumbest thing I ever said, and he never, ever forgot it.
No way.
He would bring it up. The most random people would come up to me and say, "Did you really tell President Bush that Albert Pujols was a better hitter than Ted Williams?" I'm like, "Yeah, maybe. I sort of did." "Well, he's still really mad about it. He really cannot believe that you said that to him." I'm like, "Wow." So HBO did a documentary on Ted Williams, and they invited President Bush, and he couldn't go. They invited him to the premiere, and I'm looking at the invitation right now. It's sitting in my office. President Bush put it on my desk with a note. The name of the documentary was Ted Williams, the greatest hitter to ever play the game. And President Bush put it on my desk with a note. Gene, watch and learn! ! And what's interesting is that Albert ended up going to President Bush's funeral. President Bush was good friends with Tony La Russa. They had developed a friendship over the years. The Oakland A's had won the World Series when President Bush was in the White House. So President Bush had welcomed the A's to the White House, and he and Tony developed this friendship, and Tony would always come see him whenever the Cardinals played in Houston. And Tony was invited to the funeral as a, we invited a whole group of athletes just to demonstrate his great love of baseball, golf, tennis, football. And Tony came and he had emailed me and said, Gene, he could bring a guest. He said, I really would love to bring Albert Pujols. Do you think that would be okay? And I said, absolutely.
That is,
I don't know. I thought that was sort of ironic.
That it is. That is a wonderful story, Gene. It really is. Now, I have to ask you this, by the way, we could go on forever. And I'm going to tell you right now, I haven't read the book. I'm going to read it this weekend. I'm going on an airplane trip, so I have some time. But I feel like I'm going to have you back because we've only scratched the surface. And one thing I wanted to mention here is you got a little blurb from this guy.
We do go to war. I can assure you it will not be another Vietnam because we have learned, well, the simple lesson of Vietnam. Stay out of Vietnam.
So Dana Carvey was nice enough to write a blurb, wasn't he?
Yeah, they became big friends.
I know they did.
They may be the only two people in history. President Bush said Dana Carvey became famous making fun of him, and they became big friends, and I would love to come back on your show. I didn't even get to tell the Lou Brock story.
Well,
if you want to have me back on, I'll do it.
You know what? I do want to. I'm very serious about this. I'm going to read the book, and we're going to get you back on here to share a few more stories, if that's cool with you. Gene Becker, The Man I Knew, The Amazing Story of George Herbert Walker Bush's Post-Presidency. Thank you so much, Gene. I really appreciate it. We're going to talk again soon.
Thank you. I hope so. I look forward to it.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Well, we usually visit with Mr. Cusimano on a Monday and a Friday, but we called him in special duty here this afternoon because of the Flaherty injury. I wanted to ask him about a couple other things. How are you, Frank? Do you have a good Memorial Day weekend?
Yes, sir. Does this count as overtime pay then? Or?
Yeah, I would submit the form to the powers that be, I'm sure. I'll give it the approval. I think they look for the stamp of approval. I'll say it was okay. So I told this story earlier. I was watching the game last night. Obviously, a pretty good weekend overall. They don't get the win on Sunday, so they can't get the sweep against the Diamondbacks, and the poor Diamondbacks are just terrible. They go into L.A. It was strange because Flaherty gives up only two hits at the beginning of the game, both back-to-back home runs, and then he's pitching solid. So I leave the room, I come back in, and he's not on the mound. Now, I never even saw the play where he got hurt. What happened?
Well, I think something happened while he was on the mound, but that was minor, and then it really he exacerbated the situation with his swing when he came up in the sixth inning. And that's where the tightness in the left side came out. I just talked to a Cardinal executive. I said, any updates? They said, no, Mike Schilt's going to talk at 7 o'clock. So, I mean, it's tough to speculate. The only thing we know for sure is if this guy leaves, this starting staff and the bullpen will pay a price too. I mean, you know KK's not going to give you 8. John Gant pitches 5. Michaelis may be gone for the season. So you're relying on a guy about to turn 40 in Carlos and in Wainwright and then Carlos Martinez. Right. This could you just can't lose your 25-year-old ace in the middle of his season, in the middle of a spectacular season, and expect to be okay.
No, I would agree with you. So maybe a little panic ensuing there. Hopefully, we just hope that it was more, because they're always going to be as careful as they can with precaution, too, especially in a situation like this.
You know what? As smart as Jack is, he may have done the really intelligent thing here. He felt a little something. Hey, I'm not going to screw this up, so I'm going to tell them I'm not right and come out. And maybe he misses just the start. If that's the case, then the Cardinals have dodged a major bullet.
Meantime, the Cubs are in first place. I was talking in the room here with Andrew and Sue about my nieces and nephews. And my one nephew who's in Minnesota, Patrick, he's a Cubs fan. And the first text I get today is from him about the Cubs being back in first place.
Yeah, you know, the difference, too, is the Cubs have gotten unexpected, really good work out of their bullpen. And the Cardinals' bullpen is a mess right now. I mean, they had the highest walks per nine innings in the month of May, had the second worst whip in May. What guy out of the bullpen, besides Alex Reyes and Gallegos, do you really feel good about right now? I mean, Cabrera's a good pitcher, but boy, they're working him to death, and the rest of them have all had issues. Bob Lemon, the famous Yankee manager, once said, the two most important things in life are good friends and a good bullpen, and I hope that Mike Schilt has one of those two.
Yeah, because, the bats seem to be working pretty well right now. It's almost like a college football season when you have a team that can score a bunch of runs and you just want to make sure you can score more runs than the other team that's also going to score a lot of runs, because seemingly that's what's going to happen here.
Yeah, you're right about the offense. I mean, Tyler O'Neill now has 12 home runs. He's homered in four out of the last five games, and he's going the other way. He's not trying to yank everything. It's really been impressive, and you know what Arenado and Carlson has done, and Paul Goldschmidt's not been great, but he's still going to end up with probably 25 and 90. It's all about the pitching, to paraphrase James Carville.
Hey, Frank, on another sports note, I'm going to get into this a little bit after the top of the hour. I don't know if you have any thoughts about Naomi Osaka and what's happened in the French Open and her withdrawing, and there's mental issues at play. But the broader issue also outside of that is that folks like you and people who cover, whether it's tennis, baseball, football, you're getting a lot of folks that are kind of steering you in the direction of not talking to the actual players. This Osaka story is very nuanced because the French Open folks said that they reached out to her camp. They didn't really have a lot of communication. So this is just beyond someone who's troubled, who doesn't want to speak with the media. Because if you start heading in this direction, there's a great column by Tim Clayton, who wrote about this, believe it or not, on Golf Magazine's website today. About this is really about the future of sports journalism.
It really is. And look, she's a special exception, I think. I mean, if we're talking about mental illness and depression, if she doesn't want to talk and she thinks that has an effect on her health, I don't blame her. But what I can't understand is, and I've been in locker rooms for like 30 years, is why can't an athlete, after he just hit the game-winning home run, be gracious and describe the moment? Why do they not want to talk to the media? Why do they want to be grouchy about it? I don't want to name names, but I think some people can figure it out. We had a pretty famous star here in St. Louis. I could never figure out. You just got 50,000 people standing and cheering you on. We want to ask you five questions about the moment, and you're not going to talk about it?
Yeah.
And some of these guys, I will never understand at all, Mark.
No, I don't get that either. And, I'm going to get into this in the next hour because this Tim Clayton piece is actually very good. You have to have a recognition also that these purses and the amount of money, Osaka in particular, she has a ton of sponsors. Well, she has a ton of sponsors because of the awareness of Naomi Osaka, and the media plays a huge role in that, not just her time on the court, clearly. Frank Cusumano, we'll talk later in the week. How does that sound?
Great to be with you, sir.
All right, take care. 455, 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 971talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
It's better over here.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.